The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Beth Moore explains why our lives feel like a squirming concoction of misfit parts.
So from the very beginning, like we're dust and the breath of God. We're this, what seems like this irreconcilable blend of saint and sinner, of oil and water. And my mind just kept going on and on, and I came up with one more. And glory and gory. Would anybody agree with that?
Next on Life Today.
You don't know what you're missing by not coming to the tapings. And we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I just celebrating about 51 years together. Sometimes it's touch and go. If we're going to make it that, you know, another year of marriage, but I mean, we make it. We just have to kind of have some serious come to Jesus meetings, and you have to straighten me out, right?
It takes a little time, you know.
And that's why we have Beth Moore teaching. Beth
Moore teaches. That's right, we need it.
Like, she's teaching right now because she wants, you know, she feels like you need reinforcements to work on me. Beth is a tremendous blessing. Now, she's talking about Naaman and the faith miracle, but she also talks about how he had the kind of honor that he could approach the king with a lifted face. And she implies right up front that that's how we should be able to approach the Lord, you know, come into His presence with boldness because it is a throne of grace. It's a grace throne. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has redeemed us. Well, let's listen to Beth Moore. Would you welcome Beth Moore? Here's Beth.
Look at verse 1, because this is the part where we've been heading through our series and where we will camp for the rest of our time together. I want you to look at this contrast of statements. It's so powerful. He was a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of valor. But he was a, everybody tell me.
Leper.
He was a leper. Everybody say it louder.
Leper.
I mean, like, there's just something, everybody just say the word. I want you to say it too on the other side of the screen. Just say leprosy.
Leprosy.
I mean, say it again, like leprosy. I mean, there's just like nothing. I mean, like gross. That's how we wrap our minds around that particular word. Now, there are different kinds of forms of leprosy. It is believed by most of the commentators that his was not what you and I often picture that completely disfigures the body. That would be Hansen's disease, and he would be in quarantine. So he has some kind of a really, really bad skin condition, but it's not necessarily, I don't want you to picture it in the same way as you would a very disfigured leper that would have to be in a situation not around people. So get that out of your mind really quickly. But here's what I want you to do now. I want you to picture yourself in this sentence, man or woman. And I want you to imagine that you have got a great-grandchild or a great-grand niece or nephew, someone in your family line that is writing a biography on your life, and this is after you're gone. And I just wonder, if we pictured them picking out this sentence, I wonder what your sentence would say. I've given a lot of thought to what my sentence would say, and I want you to see it. I'm going to ask them to bring it up on the screen because I want you, this is going to be a fill in the blank, and I want you through our series to try to fill in this blank with me according to your own life and what has gone on in your own journey. So look at this sentence for a minute. It says this, he was, and I want you to see that blank right there. Jot it down if you can. I've got it in italics. He was, insert noble thing, so something noble needs to go there. He was, insert noble thing, but he was, put another blank, insert ignoble thing. He was a great man of valor, but he was a leper. How would your sentence fill in? She was, enter some kind of noble thing, but she was also, insert some kind of ignoble thing. Now, I chose the word ignoble on purpose because I just like it. I mean, there's just dishonorable, but there's something about, there's some words that just need to be brought back, amen? And it's a cleansing to the throat, ignoble. I like the change between, I love words. I love the change between the G and the N, ignoble. I just love to say it. Everybody say ignoble.
Ignoble.
So there's noble and then there is ignoble. And so we're this blend of the two. Would anybody say there would be no second half of the sentence for you? What you'd be more inclined to say is that there's no first half of the sentence for you, and girlfriend and godfriend, that's what we have come to talk about in this series, because you and I both have sides to that sentence, and we are gonna camp on them together. Because what I wanna present to you is that we have always been, and I'm talking about mankind, this seemingly irreconcilable blend of things. Would you agree with that? Think about it. We have been from the very beginning this irreconcilable blend of dust and spirit from the start. God formed us from the dust of the ground. I mean, we were from the earth, and then He leans over us and breathes into us the Spirit of God or the soul of man. So from the very beginning, like, we're dust and the breath of God. Who does that? We're this, what seems like this irreconcilable blend of saint and sinner, of oil and water. And my mind just kept going on and on, and I came up with one more. And glory and gory. Would anybody agree with that? That's a good little pairing, isn't it? I felt like it was an inspired moment. Gory and glory. Because, I mean, there's this, like, really wonderful, sacred part of us, and then, like, then we're a leper. And the thing about infirmities is that they have a very equalizing effect. I mean, this was the captain of the king's army. Did that leprosy not know who he was? Have you ever just wanted to say to your malady, do you not know who I am? I mean, this whole concept levels the playing field. Greatness finds its sole validity in the eyes of the master. The second point is this. I know it's a lot of words, but please take it down. I think it's a strong, strong place for us to go in our series. Number two, our lives feel like a squirming concoction of misfit parts. Our lives feel like a squirming concoction of misfit parts. I'm going to give you just long enough to hear somebody amen that. Anybody? Anybody? Our lives feel like a squirming concoction of, what were those last two words?
Misfit parts.
Misfit parts. I want to just present to you that I've been all of these things. I have been a total train wreck for long periods of my life, and then for cyclical times of my life, a train wreck. I also know what it's like to, in between, sort of have it a little more together on the outside, but know that good and well inside my heart and inside me somewhere is still that misfit part, that blight that seems to be right there next to the blessing, and we resent it. And what I'm asking you to do through our series together is I want you to start picking out your leprosy. Where's your leprosy? What's the second half of your sentence? Because you've got one. Because you are a blend of dust and spirit. You are a blend of glory and gory, just like I am. I started to think about some examples just based on my own relationships and my own friends. I have some really good friends that are just godly, godly people, so wise as people. They train up couples, but they have gone through bankruptcy. And so it is a big deal to them. Now, for many of us, we look at that and go, well, that would have to be hard. But I cannot imagine that you just go on thinking it's a blight for the rest of your life. But some people do. Because it's what is your blight? What is the thing that you wish you could get off your record? What is the second half of your sentence? Anybody tracking with me in this? And then I've got another set of friends. I've got a friend who had been married several times, like three times before her present marriage. Now, they've been together for many years in their present marriage, but it's so interesting. He knows her background, but she lives in fear because she's got it together enough these days. She lives in fear that anyone else in their social circle or at her work, she is so well respected and has it so together that she lives in terror that somebody's going to find out because she really is a great person of God, but she's got this thing back there. If she could just move out that one thing, I want you to be thinking, what is that thing you wish you could move out of your story? I got another friend who's been married for many, many, many years, long marriage, longer than my marriage, but she'd had a number of relationships, many of us had just been around and had a lot of encounters before she was married and had known the heartbreak of all of that. But in the midst of it, she contracted herpes. And so her marriage that has been long-term, longer than mine, has had to dance around, navigate all around herpes. I mean, what if, like, couldn't they have had this great, successful marriage? Why do they have to have that? Anybody get what I'm saying? Matthew Henry wrote something in his commentary I want you to hear. I'm quoting him now. So great was he, and he's talking about Naaman, so high, so honorable, and a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And he was under that loathsome disease, which made him, this is the part that got me, especially because I was in a particular mood with myself that day, that made him a burden to himself. I ask you today, what is it that makes you a burden to yourself? I so get it, and I'm going to try not to take the luxury of really going off with this topic right now, but I am just going to tell you, in case you need to know that your friend here can relate to you, I need to tell you that there have been times, there are times, days, it just depends on what mood and what has happened, when honestly, I just want to say to the Lord, you know what, Lord? I really can't see going through this until I'm 95. I'm tired of being a burden to myself. I carry around this infirmity. One of them, I've told you guys before, I'm a very obsessive thinker. My mind just races and turns and twists, and it will turn on me in a heartbeat. It's one reason why I've made a lifestyle out of memorizing scripture, is because it beats this mind into submission. And it's where my freedom is. But if I just let myself go, and it's not me letting myself go on everybody I don't like and everybody that I think's been wrong to me, I turn on myself. And I become a burden to myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Here's what we're doing through this series. We're going to do something that's called Claiming Naaman. Because what I want to suggest to you is, maybe this happened thousands of years ago, but you know good and well you've been a Naaman. And we're just going to claim him. Because I've been Naaman. Here's what I loved. He also says this, Matthew Henry. Naaman was as great as the world could make him, and yet, and he's quoting another bishop, the basest slave in Syria would not change skins with him. Great man. But I mean, the basest slave is going like, whoa, I don't want to be him. All of us want to be a person somebody else wants to be until they know too much. It's so much fun having these darling young women just right here sitting right in front of me because I keep glancing at them. I love to see people just have the light go on in the scriptures. And every now and then a young woman will say, I think I'm supposed to do what you do. And I always say the same thing to her. I grab her like this and go, oh, I hope it comes a different way. Amen. Like, oh, may God have his way with you and may he just fulfill everything he put you on the planet to do. But man, I hope you do not have to have my leprosy to come to a place of desperation for him. But you got yours. I got mine. Look at one another and say, you got your leprosy, I got mine. Okay, so while I am studying this passage, some things are coming to me. And I do, this will not surprise you, when I'm in study and when I'm preparing, I will often talk out loud because I'm sorting out my thoughts and I'm taking down a lot of notes. And so I'm at this point and I'm trying to feel, not just read, but feel the text to try to get in under, you know, what is happening spiritually here? What is happening psychologically here? Get in under their skin, and in this case, get in under his leprous skin. Okay, God, so I ask him, what is my leprosy? I mean, I know I've got it. I think I know off the top of my head what some of it would be, but I'm just asking him, you reveal it to me and put it in my mind. And I thought, it is that thing, this is where we can all relate, it is that thing that keeps us from really having this thing together. What is that for you? Like, if not for this, and so I said, by this time I'm up, I'm walking this out with the Lord, walking through this passage together. So I'm saying to him out loud so that I can kind of get this to come forth. Well, but Lord, it would be that thing that I could say that if not for this, because I have one, I have a big one. I have something just really, just some blights in my history and some journeys that I have taken that I am so ashamed of. And I just want to say to myself, but if not for that, Lord, if not, and I want you to think, if not for that, and it was as if the Holy Spirit said to me, complete the sentence. If not for that, what, Beth? If not for that, what, Beth? And I said out loud to him, if not for that, I could be so proud of myself. Interesting, isn't it? If not for what, could you be so proud of yourself? Lord, if you just take this, I'd be so proud of myself. Great person, but we have leprosy.
Oh boy, Beth, you really communicate amazingly. Yeah, if it weren't for that, yeah, they're like, yeah, but I got leprosy. Yeah, but that oftentimes is our resistance to something we need to hear. Yeah, but sometimes it's a way we put up resistance to even truth that maybe we'd never heard before. It wasn't in our tribe or our little religious group. But how many times do we have to say, I got an issue? A woman had an issue of blood in the New Testament. She touched Jesus. And immediately, a woman who was just a woman in the crowd suddenly became daughter because she touched him. Father, it's what we all need. Thank you so much for Beth. Thank you for your word, for what you're able to do for even a leper, any one of us, in Jesus' name. I want to show you some of the most precious people you'll ever see. And they have been taken prisoner to be exploited and used and then discarded. If you ever see something that you think is terribly wrong and you really, really with all your heart wish you could fix it, correct it, here is something awful you can do everything about.
Tonight, there will be children in various parts of the world who will not be tucked into a warm bed by a caring loved one, nor will they experience the safety and security of a permanent place they can call home. Instead, many will find themselves in streets filled with violence or down alleyways teeming with sex predators searching for their prey. Once in their clutches, The unimaginable nightmare begins for innocent young children as human traffickers force them into a life of prostitution. For most victims, the inhumane treatment they receive at the hands of these depraved people produces both physical and emotional scars that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. Others may die in captivity or simply disappear, never to be seen again by their loved ones. It is a known fact that every minute, two children will be forced into the sex slave trade. The haunting question is, who will become their next victim?
When I saw that door close, and such a young little girl, I don't know, sometimes I feel like there isn't any way I can ever speak effectively enough or even adequately communicate the situation to encourage a response, but I don't know how you could not want to reach out and say, I want to stop that. You know, they arrested 50 of the predators at the Super Bowl that had brought in girls to traffic, and many of them young. And they set a lot of them free in New York City. Betty, we're working all over the world. In Cambodia right now, we want to build a safe house where 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we can bring these girls in. And here's the thing. Many of the areas we work, we have to use only hidden cameras, and we can't even show the girls that we rescue from the face anymore because they'll recognize them, and they'll come get them and take them back and oftentimes kill them. So we found out we can't let them be identified. Now, there's some places we can. Where you saw them there, we're still safe to let you see the girls we're actually trying to rescue. And we can actually show you some that have been rescued because it hasn't gotten to the extent it is like in Thailand, where we have the largest rescue center, I guess anywhere probably on the planet. And it was started by Hollywood producers and workers who watched our program and got a burden and saw missionary efforts and sold everything and went over there, and they've never come back home. And they built this house of destiny. Well, we built it. You did. And it's just amazing. But we can't show those children from the face anymore. You can see them singing from behind in the beautiful home, but we can't let you see them because they'll capture them on the streets now because we're training them. We're teaching them. These might be workers. So it's very dangerous. But here's the thing, Betty. We can rescue one of these girls, and sometimes boys they take, for $128. And we've got some friends like you who said, I tell you what, we believe in it so much, we'll match it. Which means if you give $128 to rescue one, we've got two because somebody just matched it. Some people say, I couldn't give $128, but you give $64, now it's doubled, and we rescued another one. And then, Betty, we need to spend $345,000 to build that safe house that would cost a couple of million or more here. But over there, we can do it for that. And, Betty, I don't know how anyone who could do something wouldn't want to rescue those girls.
We can't say it any simpler than what James just expressed. We need your help to give these precious children a place, a safe haven. I can't even imagine. We have five beautiful granddaughters. I can't even imagine someone basically caging them up, and every day of the week, every night, maybe every hour, taking them, molesting them, abusing them, beating them up, and treating them like animals, and then threatening them if they don't do what they're told to do. We can make the difference. We can get these children out and reach out and offer them hope. They don't see any hope in life.
Well, they're going to see it because hope looks like Jesus. Mm-hmm. It looks like the love of God and expressed through people who extend His hands. The missionaries are ready. Let's enable them to be effective. Would you dial the number, take your bank card, please, or go online and go to lifetoday.org and say, here's my gift. Make the largest gift you can. It'll be doubled. If you can possibly help us build that safe house, give a gift of $1,000 or several thousand. Now, let's do this. Please, whatever you can do, go to the phone, go online. If you do want to mail a check, make it to Life. All right, but call us, please, and tell us you're mailing it because we need to know. We've got some beautiful gifts for you to say thank you and to help you grow in your spiritual life. You're giving to set people free, and we're giving to help you live as an overcomer to be a blessing to others.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope and pray with all my heart that you will make a gift to help us build that safe house. I mean, it's a safe haven. And it'll be there for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, we need $350,000 for it. Over here, it costs about $2.5 million. But because everything is less expensive there, we can kind of pull off a miracle. But we need the miracle of your help. If you can make a $1,000 gift, we want to send the beautiful glass sculpture, The Blessing. And you remember the book and the beautiful parallel Bible to help you grow. Thank you for helping us. Betty and I just say mm-hmm. thanks. In behalf of precious children and women that you're going to set free, you're going to rescue. Thank you for doing it.
Tomorrow, after growing up as a pastor's daughter, Janie Burkett ran away from God and faced a 40-year prison sentence for dealing drugs. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.